Message this morning, something that I completely, wholly agree with everything you said, because I've lived as long as I have. You know, I'm 84, I just turned 84, and I remember things from my youth that many of you never had the privilege of understanding. Robert went back in the Old Testament, and Robert showed us what happened to Israel when they forgot God. And he showed numerous instances where they had forgotten God and they paid a price for it. They just forget about him. They'd forget how he delivered them from Egyptian bondage. They'd forget about how he had, this was before their time. And so they had to forget about the Exodus across the northern Sinai and across through the Yom Sup, the Red Sea, and on across into Israel, and how they fought, and God was with them, how they forgot about the cloud that led them. Their fathers told them, their fathers kept telling them. As each generation died, they forgot. Why did they forget? Because the fathers stopped telling them. That's why. Because instead of the fathers teaching their children how gracious and wonderful God was and how he had delivered them from Egyptian bondage, how he had parted the waters of the Red Sea, how he had led them across and kept them safe in the Sinai for 40 years, and then brought them into the nation of Israel, and he went before them as a cloud and a light at night. And so there they were, and they went across, and he was with them in battle. When they do what he said, he'd do just exactly what he promised. They end up in the promised land, and there they are, God's children. And for a little while, everything was just peachy keen, because the fathers had actually experienced all of this. But along came another generation. Robert did a real good job on this. Every time I say something nice to him, he says, well, it wasn't me, the Lord did that. So the Lord gave him a real good summary, and I sat here and enjoyed every minute of it. They just forgot, and every time they'd forget, they'd get in serious trouble. And what they'd do, they'd stop worshiping God. Or if they did continue to worship God, they would stop worshiping God the way God directed, and because they just forgot. You say, well, you know, how does that relate to today? Well, look at us. Just look at us. Robert pointed out that when he was young, and I'm a lot older than Robert, that nothing was open on Sunday. And surely you didn't sell booze on Sunday. And lots of people came to church. They didn't come for entertainment. They came because they liked the Word of God. But pretty soon the devil, who's very intelligent, incidentally, he got people loving things outside the church. He turned them toward mammon. And they just forgot. The fathers didn't tell their children they ought to be in church. And the fathers didn't set the example by being in church. And they didn't know much about the Lord. And with the passage of time, what happened? All the landmarks that God had set that the church was supposed to follow, they just moved it a little through each generation. And pretty soon you had so many different churches out there teaching so many different things that the devil used that to thoroughly confuse mankind. And he told us in the last days what it was going to be like. The churches are having a massive falling away from the faith. Now, I say this as someone who's traveled all over the world, who's been in more than 700 revivals, and I've traveled all over the United States and in the contentious United States, and I can tell you that there is a tremendous falling away, and even since I had my heart attack in 2005, It's accelerating. Why is it accelerating? It's accelerating because the fathers didn't set an example for the children, and because they didn't tell the children about it, and because the church became secondary on their list. You'll be making the biggest mistake you ever made if you don't set an example for your child of how you love the Lord and how you love his church, because it's his body. Well, I had all this big thick thing to pass out, and so I said, no, I can't do that. Because when I first came up here many, many years ago, I had just gotten out of studying Greek and Hebrew, and I came across this in the scripture, and it made me realize why there was a falling away. The falling away started long before I came up here to pastor. And when I came up here and tried to preach some things that people didn't particularly agree with, well, the falling away started in this church, and it's still falling away. So the truth of the matter is, I'm going to show you something if you've got your Bible. And I encourage you, if you don't have one, find one or listen very closely. I'm going over to the second letter of Peter. I'm going to start in chapter 1. And I hope that you'll listen attentively, particularly you fathers. But it's also for your mothers. Happy Father's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Do you really want your children to grow up and be like you? Well, take a look at how you are. I take a look at how I am quite often. I have never come up to the mark, and I don't ever expect to. But I do ask God continually to help me keep trying. It's the father's responsibility to set an example for his children. The wife may henpeck him, she may bug him to death, but eventually, if he comes long enough, he'll actually catch the fever. He'll actually understand the importance of what happens in church and how important the church is to the Lord. So here's the second letter of Peter. It's the second letter of Peter, and this is chapter 1. He starts off, and by this time he's an old man. He knows he's about to die. And they say when you get where you're going to die, you start preaching the truth no matter what. Well, you always preach the truth. But Peter got a lot of courage in his older days because at my age, who gives a rip what you think of me? The truth of the matter is, I don't give a rip. Because now, before I get out of here, I want people to know exactly what I believe and why. And when Robert brought that this morning, I said, that man was born after I was, and he knows all that stuff, and he's watched the great falling away. Good grief, I saw that a long time ago, and now it's accelerated. I appreciate a man who will stand up and teach the truth no matter what people think of it. He's not as old as I am yet, but I could tell from what he taught this morning, he's going to keep the faith. Now, what I'm going to be talking about is keeping the faith. And I'm going to be talking about this generation. And this generation has also forgotten. Israel did the same thing that we're doing right now. And I want to warn you about it because it's coming, and I think it will happen within about the next two terms. I don't know who's going to win the next election, but I don't know who's going to win the one after that. But I think by the end of the next administration, not this one, the next administration, you're going to see Israel attacked. You're going to see them attacked from the south. You're going to see them enter Lebanon. You're going to see a retaliatory attack by the Antichrist. And after that, we're going to have a war that lasts about 1,335 days, according to the scripture. So I think you've got some time. And whatever time you have, I would encourage you to set an example for your children so they'll have you as an example. And so you can teach them some things as you learn them, and as you see prophecy fulfilled, you'll have the encouragement to go ahead and do what you're supposed to do. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle, apostolos of Jesus Christ. Apostolos means apostle means specially equipped. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, where'd you get your righteousness? You didn't have any. How much righteousness of your own have you developed since Christ saved you? You haven't developed any. The only righteousness you have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the precious righteousness of Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood and gave his life for you on the cross. And when you received him, you received salvation because it was his blood and it was his sacrifice and it was his spirit that led you to him, and thereby he saved you all by himself. Now, here you are, and you're here by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. You're here because of the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what do you need in a church? What is a church supposed to have? The early churches had it, but they didn't keep it very long. If you read the seven churches that the first chapter of Revelation and second chapter of Revelation are written to, the devil was already attacking it, full force. But now he's got double full force, and he's leading a lot of people astray, and you may be one of them, and I could be one of them, and you at least need to be aware of it. And before Peter died, he said, I'm going to tell you something about this. And it has to do with forgetfulness, which is what Robert talked about. And oh, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. He says, Jesus, peace and grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? It means that most of our churches end up in fights. Most of our churches end up with people that they don't like each other. They grumble, they grump and complain. He said, do all things without murmurings and disputings. It's because that's what God meant for us to do in the church. That's what the Holy Spirit says to do. And has grace and peace multiplied to you after you become a child of God? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How much you know about Him? This is a teaching church. We teach about Jesus. We learn about Jesus. And we keep on teaching about Jesus. We learn more ourselves. I'm the pastor and I learn. And I've got more to learn. You say, when are you going to stop learning? I don't know, but I know as long as this life I'm going to keep on learning. Because there's an awful lot I've come to realize I didn't know when I came up here. And every one of you sitting out there needs to increase in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ to change your own life and your own way of looking at things. Well, how does He do this? According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How is He doing it? Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God saved you and called you to glory and virtue. You say, well, what does that mean? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's salvation. So how do you get this? This thing He's talking about us here. He said, the knowledge of Him that have called us to glory and virtue. How much have you learned since you were saved? What follows that scripture about, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest? You ought to know it by heart. You do, don't you? Because I've preached it over and over and over and over and over and over again to myself as well as to you. He says, take my yoke upon you. This is the next verse, 29. He said, take my yoke upon you. I've removed the yoke of bondage over you. I've forgiven you your sins. He said, now you're no longer under my condemnation. He said, I have called you. Take my yoke upon you. And He says, and learn of me. Learn from me. For I am meek and lowly. You're not. I'm not. We're born with a carnal nature. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know what happens in a lot of churches? People get saved. They say, okay, let's get the next batch saved. They don't teach them anything, and they run around out there trying to tell people about Jesus, and they don't know zip about Him. That's what happens. That's what's been happening. They don't have a knowledge of the Lord. You know why I'm still here? Because God has taught me who He is a lot more than the night after I was saved. And because He's been teaching me and He called me to preach, and here I am preaching and I'm teaching you, you need not only to be saved, you're going to heaven if you've come to Him. He'll take your burden of sin and grief. He'll give you rest. It's given. You come to Him. He gives it. The next one, you've got to take the yoke on you. You got to be willing to take His yoke on you. It's a double yoke. It's a zygros. He's in one side, you're in the other. He's got the power. You don't have any. So you learn about Him, and as He tells you what to do and not to do, you let Him pull you. You let Him pull you. You let Him pull you. What happens? You learn about Him, and you find rest into your souls. You quit trusting in your own works. You quit trusting in your own abilities. You quit trusting in what men have to say. You trust in what the Bible has to say, and you want to know more and more and more and more about it. We've got preachers in this church now that are doing that right now. And we've got a deacon that's doing that. And we've got church members that understand that. And their knowledge of the Lord is extensive because they have studied. He says, called us to glory and virtue. Whereby? He says, since this is so, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What am I promised? I'm promised if I'll be faithful after I'm saved, and He judges me faithful at the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to be judged. The saved are going to be judged. That I could possibly live in a city called the New Jerusalem that would stretch from that door over to here, like from San Diego to Memphis, Tennessee. That's just one side of it. You say, well, I believe I'm saved, but I don't believe that. Well, what part of the Bible are you going to choose? You got to take all of it. You say, well, tell me about that city. That's what Jesus does. He does it throughout this book. He does it through the writers of the Old and New Testament. He tells you it's as tall as it is high. It tells you it's got a great wall around it. He tells you some people will live inside the wall. He said some of them will live in the actual house of God that is inside it. That it's a special place for those who served Him, and He knows them as being loyal and loving Him. How can you love Him if you don't know much about Him? You say, well, I know He saved me and I love Jesus. Well, you need to know more than that. You need to understand the price He paid. You need to understand why He put the local church down here. And you need to understand why it's local. It's not universal and invisible. It's local and visible. You need to understand that. And this church teaches it. This church teaches everything the Bible says. We can validate anything we say, and we do it by the Bible. And we do it by the language in the Bible, the way it was originally written. I don't use anything but the King James translation. Why not? I don't have to use anything else. I just take and explain what the words in here mean to you. And that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He says, whereby are given us to exceeding great and precious promises. You know why I'm sitting here right now preaching this to you? That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. You know what a partaker is of divine nature? It's somebody that drinks Jesus' blood and eats His flesh. The Catholics have murdered that. They have made it that once you take that little tablet, transubstantiation, it goes down inside you and it's Jesus inside you. They take it, in Lutheran, they take it, and they take it, it's consubstantiation. It doesn't turn into Him, but it's Jesus in you. And so that was not taught by Jesus. He said, you can't inherit the kingdom of God unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood. What He's taking of, you know why I'm sitting up here? You know who I've got living in me? Jesus Christ. You say, well, He's inside you. I'm a partaker of Him. I believe that blood was shed for me. I believe that flesh was torn for me. I believe that offering was made for me. And that's what that means. When we take the Lord's Supper, we just take the Lord's Supper and we believe that He's present among us when we take it. But we don't believe that it turns into Jesus once it gets inside us. I've had Jesus in me since I was 12 years old and I asked Him to save me, and He's been in there working against my carnal nature ever since He got in there. But some people like their carnal nature a lot more than they like serving God. And they fall away from the faith. Why? We're going to get to that. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and promises, that by thee you might be partakers of the divine nature. See that having escaped? Did you know that's past tense? You say, well, it's past tense in English. It's also past tense in Greek. Well, why is that important? You know what happened the day I got saved? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I escaped. How did I escape? Jesus took me out. I escaped. Who led me to escape? Who caused me to escape? Who came to live in me? Who will never leave me nor forsake me? Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I can serve God. Don't you think somebody that's going to serve God ought to learn about Him? Or do you think they ought to take what a Catholic priest says and just particularly say, well, this is the catechism. That catechism is butcherous. And it is not true. And people are in that church. You say, well, can some of them be saved? Yes. But if they came to Christ and trusted in Him to save them, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If they came to Jesus to save them, but after that, false teachers take them, and the world is full of false churches that have changed the doctrine once delivered to the saints. He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, now here we go. This is what it means to take His yoke upon you. This is what it means. Now, if you want to take His yoke upon you, and you want to be an example to your children, whether you're mother or father, but particularly if you're a father, because fathers are supposed to set the example. Mothers are the ones that they really... I'm a mama's boy. Now, when it came to hunting and fishing, I didn't have a daddy. My daddy abandoned us when I was young. I had to teach myself how to hunt and fish. But I got out and learned how to hunt and fish and put a worm on a hook. I learned which kind of flies to use. I learned how to kill snakes and coons and possums and all sorts of things. You say, well, what did you do? Well, I ate them after I killed them, because I didn't just go out there and shoot them, leading them out on the roadside and say, boy, I was a good shot. And besides this, giving all diligence. Okay, you saved? Have you come to him? Is your sins removed? Add to your faith. You were saved by grace through faith, weren't you? Virtue. Now let me tell you what that word virtue means. It means the desire to do right. Do you have a desire to do right? Is it just your own opinion? Most churches say, well, now here's what virtue is. And they have doctrine that stinks and has been corrupted. Virtue, add to your knowledge, virtue, add to virtue knowledge. Virtue is the desire to do right. You say, well, how in the world am I going to know what's right? Would you believe that there are just thousands, hundreds, millions of people that develop their own idea of what's right and then call that virtue? You have to have the knowledge that God gives. I ask God for three things every night: wisdom, understanding, discernment. You say, is that where you get your knowledge? I get it from the Bible. And I get it from the Bible. I don't get it anywhere else. I look up all the words and make sure that I'm interpreting them correctly. He says, and to knowledge, temperance. You know what that means? It means controlling your temper. It means be temperate. Listen, I was born with a terrible temper. And I got in my way a lot because I was the oldest grandson. God rode me like a bucking, I was a bucking mule. And God broke me. And he's still breaking me. And I've learned something. What did I learn? And to temperance, patience. You know what that word is translated about half the time? Patience. You know what's translated the other half? Hypomene. It means endurance. You're here this morning. You're enduring in the faith. Why are so many people leaving? They're not enduring in the faith. They don't have endurance. Listen, you've got a responsibility to God after you're saved not to forget what he's done for you in life. He saves you. He keeps you. He watches over you. You seem to have forgotten that. And to patience, godliness. You know what godliness is? Eucharistoi. It means worship rightly directed. Every member of this church knows what worship rightly directed is. It's exactly like the Bible teaches, and this church practices it exactly as it is in the Bible. So if you want to know what godliness means, it means worship rightly directed. You say, where did you get that information? From this book. You say, well, if I come down and talk to you about it, can you show me exactly where it is? I sure can. You say, well, why don't you do it right now? I ain't got time. Well, I haven't got time, if you'll pardon my language. But it means worship rightly directed. Do you think you're worshiping God correctly? Well, I sure have. Are you sure it's not your own opinion? And to patience, brotherly kindness. Well, I tell you one thing Baptist churches are good at. They're good at getting mad. They're good at splitting. Where I grew up in our churches in the northern part of Arkansas, you know what our mission program was? Splitting. We didn't have to send out missionaries. We just kept splitting. You say, you're exaggerating. No, I'm not. I thought that's maybe the way it's supposed to be done. You get a bunch of people saved that get the hottest gun in the state, and if he's not available, you keep going down the list until the one that's preaching that will draw more people down the aisle. And after that's all over, you sit there and you say, boy, what a great revival we had. And pretty soon, within 2 weeks, you've got the same bunch you had before. It was that way. And I used to wonder as a boy, why is that way? I know why it's that way. You've got to teach people after they're saved who it is that saved them and what he did to save them and why he saved them and for what purpose he saved them. And I'm showing you exactly what it is. You know what splits missionary Baptist churches? A lack of brotherly kindness. A lack of brotherly kindness. They get mad at each other. They get mad and split and run. You say, could you give me some names and addresses and everything? No. I'm not an accuser of the brethren. Bible says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I don't do that. I won't do that. And the last one is agape. That's love. Giving love. Oh, this is hard. Expecting nothing in return. That's what agape is. It's giving love, expecting nothing in return. You say, Brother McElroy, how good are you at that? I'm not very good at all. But God's working on me. I like that song the kids sing. God's still working on me. You know what's going to happen when I die? God will still be working on me. But I let him work on me. I want him to work on me. I want him to show me the right way. And that's what putting the yoke on is. He says, for if these things, aha, what things? Well, you're saved by faith. Here's the things. Add virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. That's the personality of Jesus Christ, if you want to know what it is. How much are you like him? You say, well, I can't be like him. Well, you can try. He never asked you to just completely switch over. Be like him. Try to be like him. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make it that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people don't even have the knowledge. Some people get saved, and that's the last time you ever see them. You say, well, they're all going straight to hell. You don't know that, and I don't know that. But I know one thing. If you stick around and try to get to know Jesus Christ, you're going to get convicted down to your toenails. I'm your pastor, and I still get convicted down to my toenails. I realize I have many faults, and some of them I don't even know what they are as yet. Now, I wanted to get to this, because this is very important. I went back to the seminary in Little Rock because I wanted to know what the original language said. I've applied everything I learned about these words from the Greek text. This King James translation is just fine. It's inspired. I've told you what the word means. That's what they mean. Now listen to this, because this is what I don't know if I've ever preached this since you've been up here, brother, but I want you to listen to this, because it sure does bear out what you taught this morning. But he that liketh these things, what things? Virtue. How much virtue have you developed? And he says, you've been saved by faith. How much virtue have you developed? How much knowledge about Jesus have you determined to virtue knowledge? How do you know who he is? Why serve him? What he wants from you? Have you taken the yoke on you? You keep it on you? Are you faithful in it? And to knowledge, temperance. Control, self-control. Not losing your temper. Not getting mad. Not taking spite out on other people. And to patience, hypomene, endurance. You're here this morning. You endured this morning. How much longer are you going to continue to endure? Godliness, worship rightly directed. Brotherly kindness. Do you really love your brethren? Are there some of these people in here you just can't understand? You just don't like them? Well, be kind to them. And what if they spit in your face? And the brotherly kindness, charity. Don't expect anything in return. Don't make your conduct dependent on them. Don't expect anything in return. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, and make that you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I wanted to get to, Robert. This was one of the things that really helped me when I came up here. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Why is he blind and cannot see afar off? He doesn't like to think about what's coming. He doesn't like to hear messages like I'm preaching right now. He that liketh things is blind and cannot see afar off. Now I want you to listen very carefully to this, because this is vitally important. And hath forgotten. Lethe lambano. Let me tell you exactly what that means. Lethe lambano, hath forgotten, means this person deliberately and willfully with forethought and intent takes a forgetfulness. It's not God's fault. He takes a forgetfulness. And then it passes on to his children. They never hear it. You owe it to your child to let them see you as a father who loves the Lord and who's trying to do what the Lord wants. You need to see that in your child. How's he going to see it if you don't do it? And how's the community going to see it if you don't do it? Fathers, this is our responsibility. And when they stand at your grave, our responsibility, they'll say, Dad, he always went to church. Dad loved the Lord. Dad did this. Dad did that. It's okay to be a great fisherman. It's okay to be a great hunter. It's okay to have joy. It's okay to teach your kids how to hunt, fish, and all the other things. But don't forget to teach them about Jesus by your own personal conduct and by your lifestyle and who you are. They look up at you and they admire you. You saw that big old picture out there. My dad abandoned us, but I love my dad. I'm standing in some big old engineer's boots. He went to the University of Arkansas. He was an engineer. And he'd get out and work on highways and stuff. These big old boots come up about this high. And I was standing out there in those boots, and I was about that tall. They came up to here on me. I admired my dad. He was an engineer, and I don't mean a train engineer, but that's all right. But I loved my father. I cared for him. When he abandoned us, I hated him. But then when after I reached the age of, puberty, I understood why he left. I didn't say it was right, but I love my father. He's in heaven, I believe now. And my mother's there, I know. So I've learned a lot. And hath forgotten, Letho Lombardo, that he was purged from his old sins. What did Israel forget? They forgot the God that called them out of Egypt. They forgot the God that put them there in the land of in the northern part of the land where they could prosper. They forgot the God that led them through the Red Sea. And they forgot the God that led them through Sinai, kept them 40 years in the wilderness. They forgot the God that led them into the promised land. They forgot the God that they followed in the cloud. You say, well, how could those children possibly remember if their fathers didn't tell them? That's exactly the point I'm making. If you don't tell them about Jesus, who is your Savior and your Lord and your God, and they can't see virtue in you and they can't see patience in you, they can't see any of these things in you, then what kind of a father are you? How good are you to them as a father? If you can't do that, then maybe you ought to start and understand this. That's why you have a great falling away right now. That's the reason. It's because in many churches, they're just interested in getting in there, getting a quickie message and leaving. I don't mind short messages at all. I love it and I'm trying to do better. But I don't mind short messages. I don't mean to imply that. But they get in there and they hear a little cutie about makes them feel good and purr like a cat. You don't get that here. You get something that makes you look at yourself. I get something that makes me look at myself. Now what does he say? Therefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make you call your calling election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Well, Kenneth, you've been coming here a long time. You understand who he is. You understand what it is, and you're still learning. And you ain't going to fall. You ain't going to fall. You know why? Because you know who holds you up. You know who keeps you. I'm looking across this audience. We got a lot of people sitting out here in this church right now. They're not going to fall because they're doing these things. You ought to teach your children to do these things. And then they'll have great confidence. They'll be fully persuaded. You want your children to have a glorious entrance? You want a glorious entrance? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. You want an abundant entrance? Or you want to live outside the wall? You want to live outside on the new earth? Oh, you'll have a glorified body. You'll be perfectly happy out there, but not nearly as happy as you could be inside the wall, and not nearly as happy as you could be living in the holy city, the New Jerusalem. the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice what Peter said. I'm just doing what Peter did. I'm just telling you what he said. I'm not a prophet. The law and the prophets were until John. Wherefore, this is the conclusion of the whole thing. I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. The first generation that went across knew them. They experienced them. But they quit telling their children about it. They quit believing him because they didn't see him. Are you going to tell your children about these things? Are you going to have them in a church where they know them and they're established in the present truth? Notice what he said. Now, this is Peter. Now, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, this body, this tabernacle of flesh, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You know what I did? I just preached what he said. I'm not a prophet. I'm a preacher called of God to preach the gospel. I preached the book. And I've just preached it to you. But it was Peter that put it in here, and it was the Holy Spirit that inspired him to write it. Knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. He said, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease, after I die, to have these things always in remembrance. Have I done the right thing this morning? Have I put you in remembrance of what he wrote? Have I put you in remembrance that he knew he was about to die? Have I put you in remembrance that God put this in here? God put the Old Testament in here. You saw what happened to Israel every time they forgot what God had done. Who's going to tell them if you don't? Who's going to set an example before them if you fathers don't? If you mothers don't? And this is something that's vitally important. It's your responsibility to your children to be faithful in one of the Lord's churches. This is one of the Lord's churches. You say, how do you know that? Anytime you want to talk to any one of these preachers, I'm sure they'll be glad to tell you why. Are we the only ones going to heaven? No. But when we get there, what do we get? How well have we done this? At least we've still got a few preachers that are telling us about it. We've still got preachers and deacons in some churches that are still preaching the truth, the doctrine of the truth, the teachings of Christ. And I'm going to finish 5 minutes early. Now, anytime you want to come by and talk to anybody in the church about this, why, Chuck Trusty can tell you, Patrick Trusty can tell you, his brother, Kenneth can tell you,